Okay, we are picking up from the top of Nun Vav Amud Aleph with the words of Hanoder Min Habayis. Our learning is once again sponsored the Nishma Shulamis Basa Akov the Neshamba Shadav Naliyah. It is Chanukah Baruch Hashem, so my schedule is a little bit different. Mirtz Hashem, I hope they'll be able to have every day Mirtz Hashem Blinet or Anamis yesterday, but hopefully, I think for the rest of the week I should be good on sending out the recording. So says the Mishnah, Hanoder Min Habayis. Sorry, if someone makes a neder to abstain from entering a house. Mutter ba'aliyah, so the second floor, the upper story of the house, is mutter to go into that one. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's the opinion of Rabbi Meir, who understands that bayis and aliyah, the upper story or an attic or something like that, are considered two separate things. V'chachamim omrim, aliyah b'chlal ha-bayis, that the second story, the upper story, is included in the term of bayis. They hold that the part that's batel to the house is still considered part of the house. So if someone makes a neder, ushering himself to come into a house, he's also considering the aliyah as part of that as well. The Rush just points out, in the Parish of Rush here on the side, that the Gemara in Bava Basra tells us that someone makes a neder with regards to selling. And there it says, a bias, then the lo machar es hacheder ve'es hayatzia. So there he wouldn't sell the yatzia as a type of, is a storeroom, and the other thing is a type of like outer area of their house. So apparently, even them, the Chachamim would agree that when one is making a neder from entering a house, these two areas are going to be different and not included. They're not considered batel to the house, they're considered a separate entity from the house. That's how the Rush wants the Taina, in order not to make the two Mishnayos here in Bava Basra are arguing on each other. So very interesting, that's what Chachamim says. Because they hold Aliyah b'chal habayis, according to the Shita Chachamim. Hanoder min aliyah, but what happens if you make a neder not to go into the second floor, into the attic? So then everyone would agree there'd be mutter b'bayis if there was a way just to come in from the top. From the back side, let's say to the attic. So then he would be mutter to enter the house and the main floor. That would be mutter. Everyone agrees that even the chachamim that the main part of the building is not called aliyah. So therefore, everybody would agree that it'd be mutter in such a case. So now the Gemara points out man tana bebayis l'rabos etzei yetzia. The Torah tells us in the context of tzara'as that we learn out from an extra lashon of bebayis that in the house. That it's including the yatzia. We just mentioned the yatzia is this type of outer area of that's like batel to the house. So that's concluded in the halachas of tara'as habayis. Tara'as habayis are the special tara'as that used to come on the houses of when the Jews came to Eretz Israel. They would have tara'as there, and they would have to remove parts of the house in order for the kohen to check and see it. And then if it ended up being that it would be machlided, so you'd have to get rid of all of the avanim in the house. So that was what we learned. So Babayas teaches you that from this drasha, we're learning out is also included, this outer area is included. That part is not necessarily the main part of our drasha. We want to mention it for the next part. That Beveis, Larabos is Aliyah. Beveis teaches you that's including the upper story in the halachas of Tara'as. So the Gemara says, Amar of Chista, it must be the opinion of Rabbi Meir. It must be the Shita of Rabbi Meir that understands that bias also does not generally include the Aliyah. Because if it generally includes the Aliyah, then the Pasuk would not need to include it as the Gemara is about to flesh out. The Rabbanan, because if you're going to tell me that the Braisa is the Shita of the Rabbanan, don't we learn Ha'amir Rabbanan Aliyah Bichlal bias? Don't the Rabbanan tell us that the upper story is in fact included in the term house? So then, lama likra b'bayis liribuye. So then, why would I need a pasuk to tell me that the upper story is included in tzara'as? It's already in the term of bias. That should be included in the lachas of tzara'as. So the Rashash asks a question, which is really going to reappear on Amud Beis as well. It's a strong kasha. Is that he says, what are we talking about over here? At the end of the day, when it comes to nedarim, we go after lashon bnei adam. So we go after the common vernacular, how people are speaking. So it doesn't really matter what the pasuk is telling us. It matters how people speak. So the machlokas Rabbi Meir and Chachamim are pashtun on how people speak. Nothing to do with the pasuk. So it's very interesting. So apparently, maybe we could explain that that this was something that was the common vernacular based on how the pasukim are said. We learn also how people are speaking as well. Okay, interesting, interesting point that the Rashash makes over here. So the Gemara says, Abaye Amar. So Abaye says. So, afilu tamer rabbanan. No, this brisa could even follow the rabbanan. So, by across, so why do I need a pasuk? If the pasuk says bebeis achuzaschem in the house of the land where you're going to possess Eretz Yisrael, the land of your possession, achuza, that land you're going to possess. So, what do we learn from there? What is the lashon beis achuza, beis eretz achuza? What's the extra lashon of eretz? So I would have thought the Lashon of Eretz is specifically the Mechaber B'Arash made bias. Only in terms of these halachas, something which is Eretz, so something that has to be literally connected to the ground, that's where the halachas of Saras are going to apply. However, things that are on the second floor, in the attic, I would have thought that Saras are excluded. Aliyah hal Mechaber Arash, right? The second floor is only connected to the first floor, which is that connected to the ground. So the second floor, I would have thought, the Pasuk is coming to tell you that one would not have the lachas of Taras on the second floor, and even according to Rabbanan, I need this special Gezeiras HaKasuv to tell me that really there is the halachas of, here's the halachas of a Taras on the second floor, on an aliyah of a house as well. So as the Gemara Vayter, Kiman Azla Had Amar Rav Huna Bar Chiya Mishmei De'ula. So what is the halachas of Rav Huna Bar Chiya says in the name of Ula? So bias ani, what are we going to say? What halacha? Bias bevesi ani mocher lacha. Someone says, I'm selling you a house in my house. So what's the halacha? So they agreed upon it. So, and then the seller sells to him, the person who's selling it, Mar'el Aliyah, he's showing him the upper story, that the halacha, that the seller is allowed to insist that he's selling him only the upper house of his, the upper story, which is, lachor, in times of the Gemara, we assume that the upper stories are considered lower quality. So the seller has the right to do that because he is considered the one who's muchzak, and the other person, the buyer, is motzi mechavir al varayi. He says, bring me the one, the seller says to the buyer, bring me a proof that I didn't mean this one in our sale. This was clearly what I meant in our sale. It was a vague lashon. So he meant, he's allowed to sell him the upper story. So the Gemara says, tamar da'amar le bayis shebebeisin emocher lach. So now we're allowed to make a diuk, that the whole reason that there's a shiloh over here is specifically because the seller told the guy that I'm selling you a house in my house. He told the purchaser that I'm selling you a house in my house. Bayis bebesi. Aval bayis tam. But ever, if you use the lashon of simply just a house, ein omar aliyah, then the halacha is the seller may not show the purchaser the upper story. So lachora, the Gemara is making a diuk. Lema Reb Meir. Are we going to assume that this halacha lachora is the shita of Reb Meir, not the Rabbanan? Because according to Reb Meir, the term bias does not include the upper story, whereas according to Rabbanan, it does. So if someone is telling him he's simply selling a house, the Rabbanan would allow him to even there to sell him the upper story, and Reb Meir would not. So lachora, if we're bringing up this specific case, it must be the shita of Reb Meir, not the Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, no, filo tamer Rabbanan. So why does it specifically have the lashon of bayis bevesi? Because my aliyah, sorry, so what does he mean by aliyah? And when he says bayis bevesi, me'ula shebebatim, when I said bayis bevesi, and the lashon of aliyah means that it's coming from the choices. So therefore, when I'm asking this shayla, so then the question is, when I'm telling you a house in my house, so he's obligated to give the one that is a superior quality. So when he says only house, that may imply something which is going to be inferior. And that's the shita, so ula has nothing to do with the machlokas of whether or not bias included this or didn't include that. Specifically wanted to bring in and out that the lashon of aliyah meant specifically the more chashuv part of the house that a person is selling. So we don't have a raya, whether it was Rav Meir or the Rabbanan. Says the Mishnah, next Mishnah, noder mina mita, someone who makes a neder to not use a bed. Mutar b'dargash. It's going to be mutar for him to use a dargash. We're going to see Machlokas, what exactly is a dargash? Is it a bed for mazel? We'll see in a moment. Divar Rav Meir, Rachachamim Omrim, dargash b'chal mita. The dargash is included in the term of a bed, and therefore it's also going to be aser. Hanoder bin a dargash, someone makes an neder not to use a dargash. Mutar mita, he would be allowed to use a bed, because a bed is not implied by the term of a dargash, according to everybody. So Gemara asks now, my dargash, what is this dargash? Amar ula arsa de guda. It is a bed that was used for good mazel. In the times of the Mishnah, they used to set up a bed that was not used for anybody to sleep on, and it was specifically for the malach, I don't know, Michal, Gabriel, I don't know which malach it was, but they used it specifically for a malach that would protect them. And this malach used to protect them. They didn't use it. So that was this special bed. Now it's important to note that there's a shaila that's brought up by the Shita Mekubetzes, a very important one, is why isn't this nichush? This is like a sorcery type of thing. What do you mean you're setting up a bed for good fortune? This does not sound like a thing that should be mutter. So the Shita Mekubetzes says no. In fact, that if you're doing it for the kavod of a malach, as who is a messenger for Hashem, that is not considered halachas of nichush, and that is totally mutter. Similar to the kisei shel Eliyahu, which is given the kavod Eliyahu Anavi, that his ruach is there for us. We don't, right? We have a kisei shel Eliyahu. That idea that at the bris milah is totally okay. Nobody challenges that point. So similarly, this is the halacha over here. This is why it wouldn't be a problem of nichush. So says the Gemara, Amar le Rabbanan le'ula, had this time, but wait a second. The Mishnah tells us in Sanhedrin, when they feed the Jewish king, the halacha is if the The king was a mourner. He was avil for one of the Zion krovim for him. Kolam esumin al aretz. So all the people sit on the ground. V'meisiv al adargash. He sits on a seba. We know is actually more reclining. So he's reclining on a dargash when he's eating. So the Gemara points out kula shayt elohezavala. So now this dargash was specifically for the covered of the malach, and he wouldn't sit on it the entire year round. Hahu yoma yasivale. On this day where he's an avil, you're going to tell me that he is sitting on it. L'chora, I understand why is he? Why would we compel him to do this when he's suddenly an avil? So the Gemara says, "Maski v'larafimina mita d'avil basar v'yayin." It's similar to meat and wine of an avil. What does the meat and wine of an avil? The kula shaita ibayachal, that all year round a person's allowed to eat meat and wine if he chooses. V'ibay lachal, if he doesn't choose, he shouldn't eat meat or wine. Aber ahu yoma anani avinalei, on this day, and the first meal that he eat the suda safra, we bring him meat and wine so that he will consume them. So l'chora, we insisted that the Mefarish says, what the Pasuk says in Mishle, Tnu Shechar, Tnu Basar, I forgot the beginning of the Pasuk, but the end of the Pasuk was quoted by the Mefarish, V'yarin l'mari nefesh, that you should give the wine to those who have literally a soul that's embittered. So we, to uplift the king's spirits, we give him this extra kavod of sitting on this dargash, sit on this arsa de gada rather, that the arsa de gada is that we want him to sit on that, to give him this special, to uplift his spirits a little bit. So that's the halacha. I think people get confused about this. People think that in Shiva, it's usher to have meat and wine. Fakir. The person is supposed to be eating meat and wine during Shiva. According to the Gemara over here, it actually sounds like a little shtickle chiyuv, not mamash chiyuv, but it sounds like it's something that should be done because you have a little wine to make yourself feel a little bit better. Such a depressed state, to make yourself feel better. Rosh Hashanah would like to quote the famous Mahalich from Rav Soloveitchik, that the idea of the 3 weeks, the 9 days, and the Shavuot Shechalbo, and then eventually Tisha B'Av, is really Avelus in reverse. Because it's Avelus Yishana, it's an Avelus we know is coming. We know Tisha B'Av is coming. So what do? We slowly increase our, he has halachic nafkaminas, or his understanding, we increase our sadness from the 3 weeks. Already based on the Ashkenazi custom. So the 3 weeks, he says, is like the year. During the year, we don't listen to music, or go to big gatherings and things of the like. So too over here, when it comes to the 3 weeks, those are the halachas that we keep during the 3 weeks. So then, the halachas of the 9 days is more like shloshim. So that's actually a big nafkamina. Rav held that one is allowed to shave during the 3 weeks, because the 3 weeks is really just paralleled after the Yud Beis Chodesh. Yud Beis Chodesh, if a person looks bad, he doesn't look good, then he would be allowed to shave. Then he'd be allowed to get a haircut. So similarly, the Rav did not held that it was usher for the 3 weeks to do that. But then it would be enough. I mean, also, like, to have things like a gathering, even like a Simchas Mereyah, the type of gathering that's usher in the Yud Beis Chodesh, that all those things are going to be usher during the 3 weeks according to Rav Soloveitchik. So anyway, so then the 9 days is going to be like Shloshim, where you can't shave, right? You can't get a haircut, and the things of the like that were more machmir there. And then Shavuot Shechalva, we don't do even more than, we don't launder also during the 9 days, parallel to that. And then in Tisha B'Av, it's mamish like two different, like the Mesa of Shemut Shfanav, like we don't even learn Torah. It's mamish like the Shiva. It's like Shiva where you don't learn Torah and you don't even do things like that. And then it's also even some of it's halachas of Mesha 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 Mesha, like an Onin. Different halachas that we have on Tisha B'Av. Okay, very nice idea. But one of the kashas, let me bring this all up, because one of the kashas that they asked in this idea is the concept of this Gemara that we see over here, that not only is it mutter, but it's even recommended that a person sitting Shiva, person who's an Avelus, should be drinking wine and eating meat. So lechora, that's against our practice, because on the 9 days, this doesn't line up at all with our Salvechik, because at the end of the day, in the 9 days, we are of an Isser to eat meat and drink wine. It's totally Usser for us. So how is that fit in with the way he explained it? So Shachter quoted that he answered this Gemara over here by saying that, correct, 100% Alpia Din of Avilus, a person should not have meat and wine, but from based on a different Gemara, Rav Soloveitchik wanted to say that a person should not be eating meat and wine during the 9 days. And that's the idea where the Gemara says that after the Churban, so they originally wanted to asr meat and wine. And the Chachamim said, well, if you're going to asr meat and wine, you should also asr wheat, because wheat also was brought in the korbanos. So we have the minchas and all these different things. Okay, they said, okay, we're not going to have wheat either. And they said, okay, don't have peris either, because they used to bring the bikurim. You don't have the shivas aminim and things like that. So they wouldn't have the shivas aminim. So basically, they kept on saying that, and you can't have water for nisach. Basically, they kept showing them it's impossible to properly mourn in that way and by refraining from eating. So they scrapped the whole thing and they didn't do it. So the Soloveitchik said, as a zecher for the original takana they wanted to have, to not have meat and wine For 9 days a year, we have this halacha, the not have meat and wine as a zecher for the churban. That halacha is a different halacha. It's not based on avelus, but on a special halacha that we see from over there in that gemara over there. Very fascinating approach. I just brought it up because this gemara was the kasha that they asked on him, and that's the explanation that he gives based on that. Okay, so the gemara, ela hakasha. So now, again, back to the idea of ula definition of dargash. So, disane, we learn in a braisa, dargash lo aya kofeo. A mourner would not overturn a dargash. So that the Avel would overturn his bed, so he would not turn a dargash over. Ela zokfa, where he stands it upright. So he leaves in an upright position. So if that's the case, the Gemara says, V'yamart arsa degadahu, you're going to tell me that this dargash is this bed of good fortune, so then I don't understand why we'd have to overturn it. V'atanya kofes mitata lo mitasu bivaru kofa, ela kol mitos shiesh lo betoch habayis kofa. Person is supposed to overturn all the beds that he has in the house. So then an Avel should overturn a dargash as well, since it is at least important as the other bed. Since he's not required to do so, we see that it is not a bed of good fortune, as Ula wanted to explain. So Gemara says, "Halo kasha." That's not a kasha. Ula turning out the next time. Now, midi de'ava, mita micheres lekele. A dargash is similar to a bed which is designated for holding utensils. Desanya, imayeso mita micheres lekele. In tzarich lekofosa, you don't need to turn it over. That's only for beds you plan on sitting and sleeping on. Since the bed of mazel is not something which you ever use to sit and sleep on, so therefore it's exempt from the lachas of turning it over. So the Gemara wants to ask another kasha. Ila ikasha akasha. If you ask a kasha in Ula and Dargash, I'll ask you the following. The sander of Shimon Galil Amar, Dargash Matir Karbitav. That they, in the case of a Dargash, the person who's an Avel, he unties its loops. And then it's going to fall by itself. So assuming that there was loops in this, like imagine a bed with the springs, that the springs are attached with these loops. So Vahu Nofal Me'ilav. The dargash arsa, the gadu, negadam dargash is this bed of good fortune. It's not meant for sleeping, so the karbitan mitle, so what, does it really have loops? The chore, only ordinary beds do not have loops, so then why would this have loops over here? So it's supposed to be permanently in place, so therefore it should not lechore be made with loops. So the Gemara says, ki asa ravin amar, she'alte elahu rabban. And I once asked the rabbanan, v'rav techlif bar ma'avishmei, v'rav techlif bar ma'arava. He was from the west, meaning Eretz Yisrael. In Babel, they also called the people from the west Marava. So but Marava Amrei, right? So that was his name. He was coming because he's from Eretz Yisrael. So what is this dargash? Davishchich b'shuka detzilei. He was once in the leather maker's market and he knew all about leather. V'amarli, my dargash arsa detzala. Dargash is a bed out of leather. So according to Rav Techlifa, dargash was made of a wooden frame, but it had holes on the side, and the leather sheet would be on its edges, would be on top of the frame, and they would put that on top of the frames. So then, when it would be untied, it fell by itself. These traps are going to be the loops that are referring to Rav Shimon Gamliel. So that would be Rav Tachlipa's understanding. So now, so the Gemara says, though, so itmar ezu mita ve'ezu dargash. So what is a bed and what is a dargash? So we're going to be a raya for Rav Tachlipa. Amar birmiya mita masigrino sal gaba. That an ordinary bed, we attach ropes on it, we wrap them around the sideboards of the bed frame and not through the sideboards. That's how the Ron explains it. An ordinary bed in the times of the Mishnah and the Gemara was ropes that extended across the entire length and width of its frame. These ropes were held in place by being wrapped around the frame and interwoven in this type of design. So says the Gemara, dargash misarginosa megufo. The case of a dargash, we attach it from within it. That's how we do the dargash. So we put the straps at the edges of the leather sheet through the holes in the sideboards, and then we would tie them. We don't attach the straps by wrapping them over the sideboards, that's what Ron points out. So Gemara says, Mesive, so the Gemara is understanding Rabbi Yirmiya that ropes of a bed are wrapped around the sideboards. Mesive, they asked a question based on the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Kalim tells us, Kli eitz memasai mekablim tuma. At what point do wooden utensils become susceptible to tuma? So now, it's important to note that a kli cannot become susceptible to tuma until it's considered something that is a gemar malacha, that it is fit for its use that you are using it for. That's the whole idea of Mishnah Kalim, 30 different prakim, all about the different times where when is a kli finished, what's considered a kli, what's considered broken, where it loses its status of tuma. So the Mishnah over here is teaching us this halacha that the better crib is not considered complete until the following. So says the Mishnah, Hamit again, so Kli eighth, Mima Semikablan Tuma, Hamita Varisa, Mishi Yeshufan Be'or Adag, that the bed and the crib are going to be susceptible to Tuma only from when you rub them, the wooden frames, with the fish skin, because that smoothens it, and then it's considered usable. Because before that point, it's considered so hard that no one would ever go and lie down or sit on it because they would get hurt from it. So the Gemara points out, V'i Mita Mistargeres Al Gaba, but if the rope If the ropes of the bed are attached over the frame, that's what Rabbi Yirmiyahu wanted to taina. Lama li shibas or a dog. So then why would I need to rub the fish skin to smooth it out? The wooden frame is covered anyway. So who cares? Who cares what it's made if it's very pointy and very prickly? Who cares? Because at the end of the day, there's something that's covering it, and therefore, l'chora, they can't be right that's the correct case. So the Gemara says, rather, we reject Rav Yirmiyah. Elahava megufan. So the dargash is also, we're going back to the dargash and saying a dargash bed, we attach the binding from within them, through the holes on the sideboards, and the difference between the two is, mita uleva opeke bezune, that in the bed, the ropes are threaded in and out of the sides. So that's through the sides of the bed. And dargash, if you have a picture, it might be helpful. Dargash ule vapuke ba'avkza. A dargash, the straps from the are considered in and out of the loops that are hanging from the loops on the sideboards. It's a little bit different dargash is going in terms of this point. That's how the Gemara is understanding. So the Gemara says, Amar Yaakov bar Acha Amar Rabbi Mita shne kalatea yotzien. The guards to a bed that the you have a canopy bed. So what do you do in terms of avelos? So once we're mentioning the halachos, we're going to mention this point. Zokva v'dayo, the avel has to turn it upright on its end, and that's going to be considered enough. And since the canopy beds, the two posts are permanently attached to the headboard, so there's no way to overturn the bed in any other form, so that's why this is mutter. Says the Mara, Amar Rebbe Yaakov bar Idi Amar Shimon Levi, Alacha Kar Moshe Mangaliel. So we had a machlokas Tanakama. He said that an avel does not need to turn their dargash. Rav Shimon Leal says that he unties his straps till they fall on the ground. So the Gemara tells us that we follow Rav Shimon Leal, who says this halacha, that again that you untie the leather sheet till it falls on the ground. Fine. Next Mishnah says the next Mishnah. No demina ir. Someone who makes a neder not to enter a certain city. Mutali kanas tchum shel ir. So tchum we know is like tchum Shabbos, 2,000 almost beyond the city limits. So that point is where a person is allowed to enter. However, asuli kanas ibura. Ibura is the extension of the city. What's ibura shel ir? When it comes to the halachas of a tchum Shabbos, so ibura, if there is continuous houses every 70 and what is it, two-thirds, I think? Every 70, two-thirds amos, if there's another house, so the city keeps extending. So the ibura shel ir, why is it called the ibura? Because a woman is pregnant, her belly is protruding. So too the city is protruding with these other little houses that are continuing the city. So that's really an extension of the city halachically. And so halacha lemaisa, let's say by Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, if you assume that ibura shel ir, is how most people can understand that if there's continuous houses, then Yerushalayim could keep on going and extending and extending and extending. Alpidalacha. So that's why, like recently, Ramot was even included Harnofis to be a shaila. Now I think everybody assumes that Harnofis tesvav, and it's very far out from the old city because there's continuous residence from the old city all the way to Harnof. Anyway, so that's ibura shel ir. So there you're not usually kind of ibura shel ir. That is really mamish part of the city. You're not allowed to enter that. Aval anodim and abayis. However, someone makes as neder not to enter a house, usher minagav lifnim. At what point is usher? It's usher for him to enter from the door frame and inside of that door frame. So the Gemara now asks, minalandi bura demasa kemasa dami. Where do I know that the extension of a city is like the city itself? Amar biyochanan damar kravai bios Yeshua biyericho. It happened that Yeshua was in Yericho. My biyericho. Where was Yericho? Where was he in Yericho? Ilim biyericho mamish. You're going to tell me he was mamish in the city of Yericho. Can that really be? Vahaksi biyericho sogeres umisugeres. Yericho was completely cut. It was cut off. They locked the city gates. They were very scared of the Kal Yisrael prior to the fight. So therefore, it couldn't be that Yeshua was mamish in the city. So rather, Elish Mamina Bibura, he was in the extension of the city, surrounding it, within those 70 amos. And yet, it's called in Yericho. Yeshua was considered in Yericho, be Yericho. So Gemara says, Ema afilo b'tchum. No, you can mean that also means a tchum. Maybe it meant be Yericho is a tchum itself. So the Gemara says, no, it can't be. Haksiv b'tchuma, but with regards to the city's tchum, umadusam michutz la'ir. Should set up outside the city, michutz la'ir. This is the 2,000 amos that's discussed. Outside the city, this is referring to the Ir Miklat. So the Ir Miklat, that was considered outside of the city. So the Torah tells us the 2,000 amos are considered outside Michutz La'ir. So Yoshua, when he's talking about Bi Yericho, it says the Lashon of Bi Yericho, that must be that he was mamish in Ibura Shel Ir, because if not, it should have been Lifnei Yericho or something like that, which it doesn't use, so it must be he was in Ibura Shel Ir, and we see Ibura Shel Ir is like the city itself, and that's why it's usher with regards to the Neder. Someone who makes a neder ushering a certain house, he's ushered only from entering the door frame and onwards is the problem. For the door frame and outwards, says the Gemara, lo, menduik from the Mishnah, that it should be mutter for him to go. Mesiv Rav Mari, Rav Mari has a kasha on this. The Torah tells us that the kohen should leave the house and he should leave close off the house for 7 days. It's talking about nega taras habayis. Yochel yelech lebeisav v'yisagir. I would have thought that the kohen is allowed to go in his own house and close off the one over there, meaning with a long rope attached to the door. Maybe I would have thought that, to do something like that. Talmud lomer el pesach habayis. The pasuk says entrance of the house. I el pesach habayis. Now telling me the entrance of the house. Then I would have thought, Yachol Yamo Tachas Amashko Fiyaskir. I would have thought that the Kohen was allowed to stand under the lintel of the door and close off the house over there. Tamalomer Mina Bayas. Kohen shall exit from the house, which teaches us he may not close off the house. Achiyatza Mina Bayas Kulo. Until he leaves the entire house. Haketzad Omed Betzad Amashko Fiyaskir. He stands outside the lintel and he closes off the afflicted house from there. So we see that he's not allowed to stand on the part of the Agaf because that is considered part of the house. So the question then becomes, so if that's the case, so why then is someone to make a neder is permitted to come into this area when the Kohen is not, because he's not considered in the bias. The Gemara says, now just that was the point of the question. We're not going to get the answer. We're going to have our Hemshech of the Breisla first. And how do I know that if he didn't do this, he closed it off from the he stood under the lintel, closed it off, or things like that. How do I know that works? Even if he didn't do it the correct way, that still would be valid halachically. So now again, so this was the kasha right now, that it seems to me the agaf is understood differently with regards to this drasha than it is by the neder. And then we could ask the same question we asked on the Amud Aleph. Wait a second. But Lashon Nedarim, we go after Lashon B'nei Adam. What does that have to do with over here? So the Gemara is assuming, apparently, that we don't assume that way, that this is the way the Pasuk is telling us, is the way people spoke also. So the Gemara says, Shani Gabe Bayis, Tichsiv Mina Bayis. Specifically says, the Kohen should not close off the house. Ad Sheyetim Nabayis Kulo. He has to call off the entire house. As Aran points out, we have an extra Mina Bayis to teach you this extra drasha, and that's why here is different. The connotation would have been the same as the case of the Nedarim had it not been for this extra Mina Bayis. Since it has Lashon Mina Bayis, it's not a stira. That's how we have to learn out that going specifically has to be out of it. Okay, the Mirza Shem will pick up with Kona and Peres Eilu, Mirza Shem tomorrow's stuff.